if you want to produce cultivated meat, because at the end of the day, the concept is that it should be genuine animal meat. So it should mimic animal meat as closely as possible. So thinking about that, meat is complex. It has muscle cells in there, it has fat cells in there, it has connective cells like fibroblasts that keeps everything together. So it's really, really complex.
Hey, smart scientists. Welcome to another episode on the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast. The production of cultivated meat is exciting, but it's highly complex. And I'm excited because today I'm having a conversation with Petra Hanga, who is a lecturer in biochemical engineering at the University College in London, UK. And we're talking about the production of cultivated meat. So stay tuned for an exciting conversation. Are you juggling the complexities of CMC development while trying to enjoy the beauty of biotech? Have you ever wondered if there's a way to simplify bioprocessing? Welcome to the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast, where we're diving headfirst into the very challenges you face. We're breaking it down, demystifying the jargon, and giving you the keys to unlock your full potential. I'm your host, David Brohlman, and I get it. With 15 plus years in the biotech industry, I face the same challenge as you do. There's a way to simplify and streamline so you can remove complexity, you can skip trials and errors, deliver without delay your groundbreaking therapy to clinics at market, and still enjoy every single step. Do you want to learn how industry experts and I did it? Grab a cup of coffee and your favorite notebook and pen. Now is the time to take your bioprocessing game to the next level. Let's smarten up biotech. Hi, Petra. Welcome to the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast.
Hi, David. Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on today. Petra, share something that most people don't know about you.
I absolutely love cats. I have two of my own. I guess one thing that people probably don't really know, because I don't share it as much, is that I do treat them pretty much like they're my own babies. I tend to spend quite a lot every month on them, toys and scratchers and foods. And I always say to my husband that probably we are going to be the ones running out of food before our cats do. I think that says a lot.
Wow, exciting.
And we are going to talk about food a bit later during our podcast. But before we do that, let's start talking about yourself, Petra, first, because I'm curious about how did you get started in biotech and what did lead you to your current role where you are at the moment?
So I trained as a biochemical engineer. And after I graduated my undergrad, I worked for a company for a little bit, but it was a sales company. It wasn't something that was really exciting me. I've always been drawn to science. So I really, really wanted to do something else in science, but particularly doing something that in the long term can help people or can make a difference. So I ended up doing a PhD, actually, in regenerative medicine, which is basically a discipline that uses stem cells for regeneration or for tissue repair. And after I finished my PhD, after I graduated my PhD, I continued to work in the same space. I did a postdoc and then I became an academic. I continued this work with stem cells. But during my development as an academic, I evolved from looking at how to grow stem cells and how to characterize them towards more how can you manufacture them. And this is really important because basically, if you can't make enough of those stem cells, you can't really use them to their whole benefit, like in the sense that you can't use them in therapies or you can't use them for any applications, because generally you would need very large numbers. So yeah, that's how I ended up doing work in the stem cell space, initially for healthcare applications. So I was focused particularly for producing, manufacturing cellular therapies. But then since 2019, I became aware of a new field, which is cultivated meat. That was super exciting to me. And it was one of those things that really piqued my interest because of multiple reasons. To put it simple, the more I read about it, the more intrigued I was. And the scientist in me absolutely loved that challenge because it is a huge challenge. That's how I ended up doing this sort of research. And that's how I ended up in the cultured meat space.
Wow, fantastic. What a journey. And now, speaking about the cultivated meat, what do you think are the most common hurdles that biotech scientists face when developing a cultivated meat production process?
That is a really good question. I think, to put it simple, if you want to produce cultivated meat, because at the end of the day, the concept is that it should be genuine animal meat. So it should mimic animal meat as closely as possible. So thinking about that, meat is complex. It has muscle cells in there, it has fat cells in there, it has connective cells like fibroblasts that keeps everything together. So it's really, really complex. And in order to make these complex products, first of all, you need cell lines or cells to start with. Then you need to be able to grow those cells, differentiate those cells so they can get the muscle, the fat. Alongside these processes, you do need media formulations, or at least knowledge of media formulations. You need to be able to characterize the cells so they can essentially be certain that what you think you have is what you have. So I would say, thinking from that perspective, in terms of hurdles, some of them, they're expected, but actually some of them are quite unexpected. I'll elaborate a bit more on this. So in terms of expected hurdles, cell lines or cells to start with, it's still quite a hurdle because there aren't as many companies that can provide the cell lines from bovine, porcine, so all those species that are relevant to cultured meat. So the alternative is either you source it from the very few companies which are based all over the world, or the other alternative is that you isolate those cells yourself. But that means that you need to have access to a slaughterhouse and you need to have the knowledge to be able to isolate the cells. Knowledge and, well, experience, I would say, plays an important role in that as well. So cell lines, that's an obvious one. One that is not quite obvious, and I encountered it when I started doing work in this space, is a lack of antibodies. So you need antibodies to characterize the cells, but there's a lack on the market. There's a lack of antibodies that have specificity towards these species we're interested in, bovine, porcine, etc. So a lot of the times you don't have those tools that otherwise for human cells or for therapeutics would be readily available. You don't have them for this. You can work around it in certain respect, but as scientists, you do want to have defined proof what you think you have in your culture is actually what you have.
Yeah, smart biotech scientists, the production of cultivated meat is highly complex. Nevertheless, the cultivated meat market is experiencing exciting times. For those who are not familiar, in 2020, Singapore became the first country to approve the consumption of cultivated meat. And very recently, in 2023, Upside Foods received the full regulatory approval, both from the FDA and the USDA. Now, but to make this a viable option, a lot of things still need to happen. Now, Petra, do you think that cultivated meat is a viable alternative for our food and feed system?
My personal opinion is that I think it is. I think not quite yet. So obviously, as you said, there are still hurdles. There are still challenges that the industry needs to overcome. But I strongly believe that cultured meat will become available. I'm not very sure about the affordability of it. Maybe affordability would be more of when they would reach the market. So thinking about supermarkets, now Michelin star restaurants, they would probably be at the same price range as organic meat. So it wouldn't be very cheap, which again, that means that it wouldn't be necessarily affordable to everyone. But I do believe that these products will come to the market. And I see cultured meat products more as options for those consumers that want to try them. And of course, those consumers that can afford them. So, because not everyone can afford organic meat. But if you do, you're environmentally conscious or you're very worried about the animals, etc., I think cultured meat will be exactly those type of products that will give you the options or tick those boxes that you would like to when you're looking for the choice of your meat. So yeah, I think we're probably going to be seeing this. I think realistically will be more than 5 years, but I think it will happen.
Now, my question would be, Petra, it's exciting, definitely. And a lot of companies are in that space, a lot of startups. And a question I sometimes ask myself, is the cultivated meat market a bubble?
It's interesting you're putting it that way. One of the risks or one of the worries is that cultivated meat could become the food of the rich. It could be quite niche, which in a way it is niche because it is a different way of making meat. It's not your traditional. And there's a lot of thought, a lot of knowledge, a lot of science going into making these products. It's interesting. Maybe I wouldn't define it necessarily as a bubble because meat is varied, right? So there are a lot of companies, but they're all doing different things, different products. They're targeting different kinds of meat. They're doing non-structured meat, so more like minced meat-like products. They're doing structured meat, fillets or steaks or things like that. I don't think one company could do it all. I don't think one company could have pork, beef, or chicken because there's just so much in terms of the science and so many challenges, which is in a way I'm kind of seeing how things are taking shape now with companies specializing on certain things.
Hey, smart biotech scientists. I hope you've gotten as much value out of our conversation with Petra Hanga as I have. Petra Hanga is a lecturer in biochemical engineering at the University College in London. And in part two, we're continuing our discussion about the production of cultivated meat, and we're going to look at the use of microcarriers and also going to look very concretely and practically how you can develop a robust, scalable, and cost-efficient cultivated meat production process. So stay tuned for an exciting conversation. And perhaps you feel lost and you wonder how you can get started, how you can do that. So what I want to do is a very practical next step. I want to offer you a free 30-minute assessment to look at your very specific challenges and just to help you get started. So if this is something for you, use the link down in the show notes and schedule a free assessment. All right, smart scientists. That's all for today on the Smart Biotech Scientist podcast. Thank you for tuning in and joining us on your journey to bioprocess mastery. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. By doing so, we can empower more scientists like you. For additional bioprocessing tips, visit us at smartbiotechscientist.com. Stay tuned for more inspiring biotech insights in our next episode. Until then, let's continue to smarten up biotech.